Now, Job continues in chapter 7 to answer this man, Eliphaz, and he says here, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. In other words, there seems to be no surcease from his sorrow and from his pain. He's a sick man, by the way, and actually a real sick man at this time. And they have ignored that. They have not attempted to deal with him at this because he found no comfort in any quarter. Even his wife, his helpmeet, has suggested suicide. And when his world caved in around his head, he became a distraught and frustrated man to be pitied, and pain racked his body. Fever drove him actually to periods of delirium, and it was difficult for this man to maintain his equilibrium. Listen to him now here in chapter 7, what he says in verse 4. He says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I'm full of tossings to and fro unto the dawnings of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. In other words, he felt that he had an incurable disease and probably did have, and that the end was coming and it wasn't far away. Now, in this wretched condition, this first friend has paid no attention to that at all. And they have come, and they have not really ministered to him. And I'm not going to say they're not real friends. The point is, they just didn't understand. Someone has said a friend is one who knows you and still loves you, but he must know you. These friends didn't know Job. And this is something that is quite interesting. Job says, you're nothing in the world but a mirage in a desert, and you're not even talking to my problem at all. And they, of course, didn't know God. We'll see that as we move along. Finally, when God broke through, he could say that this man had certainly not received very good advice or help at all. Now, he says here that his physical condition should have called forth from them sympathy at least. And the fact of the matter is that if he's sinned, he wants them to help him. Now, listen to him as he talks to them, and I'm just hitting high points here, by the way, in this section of Job, because we're going to move through like that. This is actually not what I would call a study in the book of Job. I would actually like to spend a year or 2 years in this book. I think it's just as rich as cream, and it's worthy of a great deal of study. And it's a very profound book, too, by the way. Now, he says here, and I'll begin reading it, verse 15, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than life. This man now very frankly says, I want to die. And he says, I loathe it. I shall not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Let me die in peace, in other words. And then he goes on in verse 17, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldst visit him every morning and try him every moment? And he says he wished God would let him alone. He senses that he is being tried, but he hasn't any notion what's back of it at all. And he says, how long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle. My, isn't that a picture of this man? He says, just leave me alone. Just let me alone in my own misery. And now he's going to say this to them. And if you're raising a question of my sin, I'm not saying I'm guiltless. He says, I have sinned. But why select me for the special attack as a notorious sinner? Why make my life a burden when I'm not that kind of a sinner? The thing that you should do is show mercy to me. Now listen to him here. He says, how long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone, till I swallow down my spittle? I've sinned. What shall I do unto thee? He says, I admit I'm a sinner. O thou preserver of man, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee so that I'm a burden to myself? He's saying he's getting more than he deserves. Now the last verse, verse 21. And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. And what he's saying now to these men, I'd be glad and I die. You fellows can't bother me then. Now, you can see that there is a breaking down of Job. There's a breaking down of his integrity, actually, that is taking place here. And when a man has his own integrity broken down, then he is an easy mark, of course, for Satan. And that is the thing that happens to many a man that attempts to fight life alone, begins to hit the bottle or drop into sin. And before long, why, the devil has got him because he's broken the man's integrity down. And he gets in the same situation Job is. Now, will Job break under all of this?